Blog Talk Radio.
Traditional Southern home. I grew up in church. I grew up Methodist and was in the church pews every time the doors were opened, but really did not have an encounter with Christ until I was in the seventh grade when I actually went to a Pentecostal Church of God camp and had a major experience with God, got baptized in the Holy Spirit whenever I was in the seventh grade, and did not really know that really what was going on, and my parents didn't know what was going on, and I kind of came back home and was a little bit taught to be afraid of that, and it kind of fizzled out, but God had a hold of my life at that young age and really began to speak to me and minister to me, even though I didn't really realize what was going on, but grew up and became a teenager and drifted away from the Lord, and I guess was kind of a creature of habit within my own sphere of influence, and, you know, lived out a worldly life while still going to church. But that's how my life began, but I ended up getting sexually abused whenever I was 18 years old in college, and that was my all-or-nothing point in life. It was a really tragic experience, a really difficult, heartbreaking experience full of rejection and abuse, and for a period of time, I actually went 100 miles an hour into the world and partied and drank and did things that about everything that I thought I would never do for about 6 months period of time, and hit rock bottom, was suicidal, and began to just cry out to anyone who would listen who I thought would be a Christian, and had the opportunity to meet some incredible college students there at the university that I was at that were running hard after God, and they introduced me to the true Jesus who loved me and who had forgiven me and loved me no matter what I had done, and that was there. And, you know, the situation surrounding the rape was a situation where people were accusing me of lying about it and saying that it didn't happen and it was covered up and it was the abuser was protected. And one of the biggest things that ministered to me is when I began to realize that God was there, that he believed me, that he understood, and that he had given me a hope and a future, even though the enemy had tried to steal that future away from me. So the very time that I gave my life back over to the Lord, I was actually sitting in a room full of other students, and the Holy Spirit moved on me, and it was in this meeting where they were just doing a little devotional and really don't remember what was said, don't remember anything of that nature. I was at a Baptist youth meeting, and I was sitting far back in the edge of the room, and the Holy Spirit moved on me, and I began to weep and cry and just totally gave my life over to him, just remembered all of that love that I had experienced back in the seventh grade. And from there, it was amazing, because I tell you this part because it really points back to sort of some of what God does with me now. But God began to pour his Spirit out on me in that moment, in that room, and it was like a fire began to fall in that room, and every single student in that room began to weep and to cry and gave their life over to the Lord, and nothing was ever preached, nothing was ever said. It was just the Spirit of God moved. I yielded, and the rest of the room got saved.
Amen, amen. That's an awesome story. Welcome back in, Chris. Chris is finally here. Hey, it's going to be an awesome interview today, Chris. I'm glad you could join us. But, yeah, that's awesome, Tammy. Now, once the Lord has, I've interviewed a lot of people where, you know, they know the Lord when they was a child, and then they kind of got their teenage years, they kind of fell back a little ways, and they experience the world tremendously to a point that they shouldn't sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes the Lord has got to give them a wake-up call, like, mm-hmm. Hey, it's in your life, you want to live, you know. And now when the Lord, you know, really came to you and really revealed himself to you, what got you to a point where you wanted to get into the ministry?
Well, for me, from the get-go, I guess from that moment whenever I was between 18 and 19 years old, and I was in college, I had received a new life. To me, at that point of my life, you know, I went from a straight A student doing well, just excelling in college, had a future before me, and everything crashed down around me. And the Lord gave me a new life. He gave me a new start. So it was intimacy, and it was love, and it was filling all of those voids in my life that happened in that moment. So I didn't begin to pursue ministry. I began to pursue Jesus. I was hooked on Jesus, and I realized at that moment that, that he was everything, that he was the answer. And I never actually considered going into ministry in the beginning because of the way that I was raised was very much in a home that, you know, where you pursue success, you pursue career. So I was, and it was instilled in me to pursue career, a financially secure career. And as we all know, ministry is not necessarily a financially secure career to pursue at the age of 18 or 19. it was not well accepted, you know, in my upbringing to pursue a ministry. So I was pursuing God. I was pursuing him. I wanted everything that I could possibly have. I began to devour the word. I began to just almost immediately submit to a lifestyle of intimacy with him. And pretty soon I was in a non-denominational church that was pursuing a 40-day prayer and worship, 24/7 prayer and worship period of time, and that's where I got submersed really into the presence of God. And like I said, I didn't really start out pursuing ministry. I started out pursuing him, and I began to take Bible classes, and I began to learn the word, and really in a very quick amount of time, I had begun to just devour the word of God from cover to cover. So it really developed into who I am and not necessarily something that I was looking for. Before I knew it, I was pursuing a degree in theology, and the rest is really history. I just began on the road to giving him everything I had, my entire life, and that turned into a ministry.
Hey, man, that's awesome. So you kind of worked on renewing yourself and your mind and the word and studying and building that relationship where you actually went into the ministry. That's awesome, Tammy.
Yes, absolutely.
That's the type of thing you kind of want to hear from a minister, that they're actually, you know, renewing themselves, because I know there's a lot of people, they ain't well done yet to go into the ministry and let the Lord really take them over, because, you know, to really preach the word of God, you've got to have a great relationship with him. You got to know the Lord before you can actually talk about the Lord.
Absolutely.
And that's the main thing. And one thing that I know myself, that the Lord does wants a very close relationship with everybody. And that's one thing that we actually learn. You know, the word teaches you, but also at everyday contact with the Lord, talking to him, spending that time in prayer, you know, meditating on him. And that really brings you close, and that really gets you ready for ministry, like you was talking about, just, you know, going through that schooling and learning the word and staying addicted to him to renew your mind and your soul, really. So after you went through college and you did all of this, now how did you get started in frontline ministries? When did you start this ministry?
Well, I mean, honestly, my husband and I, you know, we met in church. We met during the time that I was pursuing the degree in theology, and I was really just a fireball from the get-go. I mean, from the beginning, believed that if I ran into you on the street and you needed Jesus, that, you know, there was no doubt in my mind that you were going to accept him right then and there. If you needed to be healed, you were going to be healed right then and there. I was just on fire from the beginning. And so when my husband and I met, I was already in collegiate ministry. And when we married, we went ahead and took, it was actually the campus that I was going to school at where I was raised. We actually took that campus and became campus pastors there with Campus Crusade for Christ. So we were there to begin with. We were in student ministries at our local church. And Frontline Ministries was really birthed in 2009. We were in ministry, serving in the local church, serving in many different avenues of ministry wherever we were needed for a good while before we really birthed Frontline Ministries. We birthed Frontline Ministries out of a prayer burden. We had a real strong desire to see unity and to see the power of God and the presence of God pursued locally in our hometown. We really desire to see these college students, because that was part of my testimony, to see these college students receive the power of God, the presence of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit while they were in that pivotal place of their life. So we began to pour into college students and allow them to pursue God, to create an atmosphere where they could pursue the presence of God in prayer and in worship, and have the freedom to grow, to be molded, you know, in the prophetic, because this is one of the most prophetic generations that we've ever seen on the earth. But there's a lot of issues there when there's no upbringing, there's no correction, there's no love invested in prayer, invested in that prophetic gifting. So that's a lot of what we ended up with, a lot of prophetic, strongly prophetic college students coming in and worshiping. And we kind of founded Frontline Ministries around what was already taking place in our own home. We had a 3-day prayer and worship event in the square of our hometown, and invited pretty much all the churches around to come together for 3 straight days to pray, worship, and pursue God, and to cry out for unity and freedom in our hometown. And that's really where we were completely birthed out of that event. It was called Awaken.
That's awesome. Now, when you first started these ministries, where was the area that you normally ministered to? Was it in your own hometown, or just, you know, where did you start?
Definitely to begin with, it was my own hometown. My background is in counseling, and I was already very much using my counseling gift in a lot of different areas with mostly women in the area. I counseled in in the crisis pregnancy center locally, and counseled in and actually helped out with founding what was called a Place for Us ministry. That's a local ministry that houses unwed mothers. So I was counseling there, and really God was really using me in the area of women that had been abused and with issues and crisis issues, as well as these college students. So the area of ministry that we really started in was with the people that were in crisis and just really needed a touch from the Lord. So we served a lot in youth ministry, I guess you could say more of the collegiate ministry, but I was always on the outside of the four walls of the church. In some way, shape, or form, I've always been on the outside of the four walls.
That's awesome. That's very awesome. Now, Chuck, you worked with our ministry for a while, ain't you?
Hell yeah.
That's awesome.
I met her probably, correct me if I'm wrong, Tammy, but I think it was last fall.
Yeah, it was.
Go ahead.
Probably October-ish, September.
Yeah, somewhere in that ballpark. And a lot of what I've been able to do with Tammy is along the lines of the IHOP KC International House of Prayer, which is 24-hour or 6-hour or 12-hour, just these long hours of prayer and intercession and worship going on at the same time. And when she talks about, a prayer movement, that's really what she's talking about. It's not just getting together and praying, but somebody's leading worship, somebody's leading intercession, and there's a real – it's more than let's just get together and hold hands and let's pray that our city will change. It's really declaring. It's really prophesying. It's bringing the gifts into fruition where they're really, it's more of warfare than it is prayer. Okay, devil, I'm tired of you, and we're going to take you down, and you're not going to have my city anymore, whether you like it or not. And that's kind of her mentality. When you get to meet her, she's going to knock the devil out, whether he likes it or not. So it's been awesome.
Awesome. That's awesome. That reminds me of my young days of my friend's mom and dad. They had a little small Pentecostal church in their living room, and we'd all sit outside the living room. We'd see we would see the floors jump up and down. They'd be in there screaming, just giving the devil down the road. And I just, you know, that's all that good stuff.
Yeah, one question I'd like to ask, if it's okay.
Okay.
Tammy, now you've talked a lot about your family, especially in the early parts of your life, and my family was kind of split. They were part Pentecostal and part Methodist, so I kind of get where you're coming from, being a little Methodist girl who all of a sudden got set on fire and filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And you talked a little bit about your family in college, how, you know, you're not supposed to go into ministry, you're supposed to set the world on fire by being a CEO and an executive, and so you kind of made a transition from a little Methodist girl getting saved all the way to this fireball woman who's trying to save the world in one day. Through all of that, what's kind of being with your family?
Well, you know, really with my family, and the Lord spoke this to me early on, has been consistency. Consistency in my life has won my family. At first, my family saw me as really, really going from one extreme to the other. It was said many times that I was going through a phase, that this fire would burn out. My family has grown to accept me, you know, to accept this ministry that God has called me to. I definitely am way different than anybody else in my family. You know, I come from a very strong business-oriented family. My family owns businesses in my hometown, and majority of our hometown is, you know, owned by my family. So went through a phase of embarrassment, I believe. I think they were embarrassed by me for a little while, to a place of being able to see that this is not something that I'm pursuing. I'm not pursuing my name and lights. I'm not pursuing to be known. I am pursuing Jesus, and there's been lasting fruit in my life. And that's one thing that I really talk to young people about. You know, there's one thing, you don't let the fire burn out. You continue to burn. I want to burn when I'm dying on my deathbed, I want to be burning. But you want the faith of a child and the wisdom of an old man. That's what I say. You want the faith of a child and the wisdom of an old man, because you want your fruit to be lasting and you want consistency in your life. So it's been the consistency in my pursuit of the Lord that has actually caused my family's eyes to be opened and see that this is real. You know, this is real. This is not some, you know, fake pseudo thing that I put on. This is real, and there's lasting fruit, and there's love. Love flows. Not condemnation, not a judgmental attitude, which I did have to begin with, very much would have put you in your place in a second and didn't care what you thought about it. There was really no love there, but there's love now. So I believe my family, to answer your question, has really come into a place where they're seeing God truly abiding, living, moving in my family, my husband and I and our children. And that is what's bringing them to a place where the blinders are falling off. Their eyes are being opened.
Yeah, I thought that was an important point to get to, because we're all ministers here on the show today. And, you know, Jesus had to fight his family. And for anybody who ever listens to this, they're going to be listening to it because they're ministry-minded. And I thought that would just be real encouraging to the people listening. That the hardest people do fight is your families, because you're elbow to elbow with them every day. They see you every day. They see when you slip up. They see when you do excellent. So I just thought that was a good question.
Yeah, well, you know, I want to add this to encourage anybody. It's not been peaches and roses, you know, the whole time. It's still not now. It's still not now. There's still times when my mom and I, you know, we'll get on the phone with each other. You know, even recently, because my traveling has really picked up. The power of God and the prophetic is out there in the forefront in the people's faces right now, Facebook, media, that type of thing. So, you know, my mom and I have had conversations recently about the reality of what's going on, and some of those conversations get heated. I mean, you know, I want to be honest to encourage somebody. Those conversations are not easy, because what happens when change starts to come in, that blows the mediocre and that blows the lukewarm out of the water. It doesn't. It comes with resistance. It's going to come with resistance.
Yeah, it is, and the Lord has really promised that in the Word that you know, no prophet is going to be wanted in his own hometown, and even the Lord Himself went through that. And what I see a lot of times in ministry is that people's family looks at them, they put them in one or two or three different camps. One, they're a Jesus freak. Two, is this just a phase they're going through?
Yeah.
Or, you know, or three, is this for real? Are they really going to do this? And you work through all of this. You work through, you know, with them through all this, that, you know, you're really on fire for the Lord. You really want to change your life, and you want to help them change their life and change other people's lives. And that's when they really open their eyes, because I think we've all went through that with our families, and they just want to know if we're for real or is this a phase that we're going through. Because there are some people, Christians, that has a phase. They're all on fire for the Lord for about a month, and then they're back to the same old way, you know.
Right.
So it's just a process. And one thing that I've really saw in ministry is people that really wants to change. They don't want to see their old selves again. And that's one thing that I see that really helps people grow in the ministry, because they know where they came from. They don't want to go back there again. And they know what the Lord has, it works. There's so many different ways. I mean, I even put this on Facebook last night. There's so many different ways people try to flow into, to change, and none of it works. The Lord Jesus is the only door and the only way that really works. And once you really get into, you know, get that communication with the Lord and you really build that relationship, you see it works, and you don't want to lose it. You don't want to lose it. And a lot of us, there's a fear, you know, the fear of the Lord to me is the fear of moving away from the Lord. Because once you get in His presence and His love, you don't want to leave. You don't want to leave. You want that love with you all the time, because ain't no human out there has that. Only He has that. He only has that. And that's one of the fears that somebody's really building a relationship don't want to do. They don't want to lose that relationship with the Lord. It ain't that, I mean, there is a fear of the Lord, but not the type of fear. It's like a fear of a dearly loved one that you would do anything for, that type of fear that you don't want to lose this. And you'll do anything for this person. That's the way you are with the Lord. You just want to keep that relationship. You don't get that closeness to you, because He does promise that He will protect us and hide us underneath His wing. And that's the main thing. And Tammy, I really see that's really, really big growth. And I really feel that's how you grow in the Lord, is through that love of the Lord and that protection of the Lord. And that's one of the things that, you know, really builds relationships with God and builds relationships with other people, with just, you know, that closeness. And when the Lord is in you and He's working on you, it shines off of you. It shines off of you. I mean, how are you going to bring somebody to the Lord and you don't really show it? You know?
Exactly.
Go ahead, Tammy.
Oh, I was just going to say, and I think it's really important, you know, while we're talking about family, you know, in that area of struggle, I think it's very important to remember to honor your family, to honor your father and your mother, you know, in the process. Although, you know, that's why I'm very hesitant to say very much, because it's very important to continue to honor them. So that you can show that consistency and that love. And, you know, even when Jesus rebuked, and it looked like a rebuke, rebuked His mother whenever they came to the temple, He still honored her. He was not, because Jesus said not. So we know that in that statement that He said, who was my mother and who was my brothers, there still had to be honor there because Jesus said not. And I think it's really important to understand that we're preaching and we're showing, you know, who God is, and we're showing our trials and things that we've overcome in Him, but still remain in love and still remain in honor of our father and mother, because our hope and our heart and in the heart of God is that that they're one and that they're eyes are open to the power and the love and the presence in a deeper level than what they're experiencing at the moment. If we're dishonoring and tearing them down in the public eye, we're not going to accomplish that.
Mm-hmm. We want to change their lives along with ours.
Yeah.
And not tear theirs down along beside ours. I mean, that's the one. I mean, God loves our parents too, and he wants to rebuild them also with us. And
yes.
One thing I have noticed, even in my own life, is that when you grow in the Lord, you're gonna be pulling your family along with you, whether you know it
yeah.
or not. And they're gonna change along with you. Seeing you, they're gonna say, "Hey, she's doing something different. She's changing." You know,
right?
They want to do the same thing, and they're gonna learn how you do it. Maybe it's Jesus thing does work. You know, and,
right?
And they're gonna come along with you and try to learn what you know and try to have you to talk to them a little bit. And I noticed in my own family, I saw the same type of thing. But at this time, we're going to go into a break, and I'm going to go ahead and play I Belong to You by Bethel, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Healing Life Show, everybody. We're interviewing Tammy Sutherland. Now, Chris, you had a few answers, questions you want to ask Tammy.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, what kind of ways has the Lord opened doors for you? You know, has there been, like, some pretty cool opportunities that the Lord's opened the door for you?
You know, I might answer this question a little bit differently than you may have heard in the past, but the Lord has opened doors for me just as a way of relationship. I seek the Lord, I seek His presence, and I seek opportunity to touch the hearts of people. And it's one thing that I've heard said that I've always remembered is big doors swing on little hinges. Bishop Tony Miller, who was actually the bishop over the school that I went to, said that, and that stuck with me. Big doors swing on little hinges. And it's the small things, the things that you think are minute, that opens the doors to the path that God has taken you on. But I think there's a really big key here that we are pursuing God and not pursuing opportunity. I believe that where I am right now in my life and the doors of opportunity that are opening for me right now are because of my pursuit of God and not my pursuit of opportunity for ministry. I got a phone call a few weeks ago, very dear friend of mine, you may know her, Sherry Easel from Groundbreakers Ministry, called me, and she was praying with me, and something that she said to me, she said, Tammy, she said, the Lord wants you to know that there are opportunities that He's bringing to you, and they will call you. You don't have to call them. And that's something that the Lord spoke to me very, very young in my relationship with Him, is that there was no need for me to call to create my own opportunities, because He would create the opportunities. He would open the doors that He wanted open. So it's always been my pursuit to walk through the open doors that He opens. I have no desire to be where He's not, and I have no desire to be where He doesn't want me. So whether that is sitting in a counseling situation with a young lady who's in crisis and has never stepped foot into a church meeting, or that standing before thousands and speaking and ministering and praying after the meeting, it's all the same to me, because the opportunity is to share the fire and the love and the power of God. So these opportunities that I've had here in the recent year or so have really just stemmed out of pursuit of Him. I think one of the biggest things that's come up here recently is I did 4 shows on God TV with Ryan LaStrange. That was an awesome opportunity, but that opportunity flowed right out of Ignite Triton. When we did Ignite Triton back in, I believe it was May of this year, one little hinge led to another little hinge, and before I knew it, Ryan LaStrange and I were communicating over Facebook, and I was in Bristol, on television, doing 4 shows, talking about the merging move of God and the prayer movement that He's bringing forth. So, yeah, I mean, these things have just totally been God-ordained, things that He's placed my feet in the water where He wants me to literally part for Him. So it's all about Him. It's all about pursuing Him. And I believe there's more to come, and I don't believe that it's going to be me pursuing any of it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that anytime we get our eyes focused on, like, ministry or, just the things that are really supposed to be a byproduct of our walk with the Lord, because really it's just a great honor to walk with the Lord. That's our greatest honor in life.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's that one person or whether it's multitudes, I mean, it's
right.
Really all about Jesus and His love flowing. That is so good. That is so good and so encouraging. I would like to ask you a question. This is just something I want to know how you got by. Was you said you were raped, like, early in college years or whatever? How did you get to the point where you could walk in forgiveness to that person?
You know, it really took me understanding the forces behind what had taken place. It took me understanding the forces of evil and the sin that's in the world to be able to really walk, honestly walk in forgiveness. I struggled for years forgiving because it was such a large group of people. My situation was a fraternity sorority situation in college. It was a very large group of people that I had to forgive. And the aftermath of the actual event was more painful to me than the actual event itself because I had to endure so much ridicule afterwards. So I had to work through forgiving a lot of people. But it was the realization for me that we live in a fallen world and people are selfish. And left to themselves, they will hurt one another. And I had to understand that outside of God, outside of the love of God, we will hurt one another, whether it is rape, whether it is stealing or cheating or lying, whatever the sin may be, outside of the love of God, we're going to hurt one another. And that really opened the door for me to be able to say, you know what, it's not for you that I'm forgiving you for this thing that you did. I'm forgiving you for me because I want to be free. And I began to pray, Lord, I want to see like you see. I want to hear like you hear. I want to feel like you feel. God, I want to love the unlovely. And that began to transform my heart because one key is found in the Word of God is pray for your enemies.
Yeah,
and that's
man.
Something that I learned. I needed to be
Amen.
Able to pray for them. Pray for them. Cry out to God for them. Realize the fallen state of their lives. That guy, you know, in particular, it was a drug situation. He drugged me. He did drugs himself. He was not in his right mind, and that doesn't excuse what he did. But as I began to pursue counseling and began to learn, you know, how to minister inner healing and deliverance and counseling to other people, I also began to get a window into what possibly had he been through. You know, what has happened in his life? Why did he find himself at that broken state? And I began to pray, not just that I could release him, but so that pray for him and pray for those other people. I believe that was the key for me to be able to do what I do right now. To be where I am today is to the very one who harmed me to be able to forgive that person so that I can minister to others who's there's no telling what they do. You know, when they come up to the altars, when they come and want to be prayed for, when they're broken, you know, in the streets and in the stores, we can't be thinking about what did they do as much as who they need, and that's Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah,
that's really good.
Yeah, and it was a process. It's been a process. Things will still come up. You know, I've been married for 11 years, and I had to deal with a lot of that after I got married, stuff that I didn't realize it was still there. After I got married, I had to deal with the trust issues. I had to deal with the all men are fill in the blank. You know, all men want to use me. All men want to abuse me because that's the picture I got. I had to deal with that after I got married. You know, little by little, and it comes with being completely honest and completely open and not hiding and burying things, but saying, you know what, I'm struggling in this area. I know the devil is a liar, and this is the lie he's feeding me, but he is feeding me this lie, and I'm coming, you know, for my husband. I'm coming to you open and honest. I need you to pray for me. I don't want this. I don't want to feel this way, you know, and that's, you know, for anybody listening that's struggling in that area with forgiving and, you know, you've had things that's happened to you. You've had things that, you know, you didn't deserve that, and you were not the cause of that. You've had that happen to you, but it takes the honesty to say, you know what, I'm struggling with this. I don't want to be this way, and begin to recognize that all people who abuse are not all people in general. So just because I was abused does not mean all men want to abuse me. And, you know, and that's something that I had to shift in my mind and begin to see my brothers in Christ as brothers and not someone that I need to run and hide from of fear.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an incredible testimony. It really is. I admire that because I can't even imagine the hurts and stuff that you have to deal with. But, I mean, just to continue to go forward and to forgive them, I mean, it's really incredible to think about it. Oh, that's really amazing.
I know there's a lot of people out here. I mean, you know, you're a lady, but there's guys, there's children that's been through this. They've been through this torment. I don't know whether it could be a parent, it could be a loved one, it could be anybody. It could be, like you said, some guy on the street that you met. You know, I mean, it could be anybody that's did this to you. But the thing of it is, like you said, Tammy, you don't know what the enemy has did to this person that has tormented their mind, has manipulated their mind to that point. And the thing of it is, when you forgive them, the biggest thing that you learn about Jesus, when you build a relationship up with Christ, he's always there for forgiving, no matter what. And the craziest thing I've always learned is when you get to a point where you dislike somebody and you build this relationship and he talks to you, first thing he'll tell you is to forgive. He's like, you know, look through my eyes, son. Look how I see them. Don't see how a human and how the enemy sees this person. See how I see him. I see him how I created him, not how the enemy has manipulated him to what he is now. And it's so hard for us to do that. It is. I mean, it can be challenging, and it takes that work that Christ has to do with you. You can't do that yourself. He has to do that through you. He has to transform you. Right. And I mean, you can't. I don't care how many shrinks you go to, it ain't going to do that. The Holy Spirit has to do that. He has to do that. And the world will always throw you to a shrink. Hey, you need counseling. You know, this counseling is going to really transform you, and you're going to be all good, and we give you some of that magic pills, and you're good to go, you know. And before you know it, you know, I've heard a lot of people, before you know it, you're worse off than you was when you first started. You're worse off than you first started. Only Jesus can do this. Only the Creator that created you can do this. And even, I mean, you could probably, I mean, Tammy, you could, I mean, you're like a living example of this. And, you know, he has to change you from the inside out, not just your brain, not to just change some chemicals in your brain. It's your heart. It's the inside of you. Your soul has been damaged. It has to be. And I was listening to a minister on television the other day, and she says every sin that you went through has damaged your soul to a point. Right. And you have to have that. You have to have that wound healed in your soul. And only God can heal that wound. He's the only one that can heal that wound. So when you're having that wound healed in your soul, your spirit man gets bigger. You start feeling like a different person. I know the lady that was talking the other day, she said that she was sick constantly. She had so many wounds from all the things that she did in her life, she was sick constantly. No matter what she did, she would get sick. And the Lord came to her and said, your soul is not healed completely. There's things you've got to work through, and I've got to help you through this. And she said, the more she prayed on this, the more she gathered up what was going on, asking the Lord to send the luminous power to her to actually recreate her. The more she started feeling better, she started feeling like a new person. And see, those wounds, what was so awesome, she said she would step into a state and whatever demonic thing was there in that state was taking over these people and destroying these towns. It had something in common with her that she did back a long time ago, back in her sinful life. And she would get sick. She's like, oh, man. Then the Lord would show her what she had in common with this thing. And then she had to heal that. She had to heal that. And the more she healed that, the more she could step in all these different states and it wouldn't bother her. Because, you know, when the Lord did, and when the Lord faced demons, he was pure. There was no wounds there. He was pure and holy. There was no mistakes in him. So it wasn't one thing they could touch. But with us, as humans, we have to be healed. There's some things that sin has really touched us and really wounded us that the Lord has to go in as a surgeon and actually start healing all of this. Now, when you receive Christ, he healed your soul. I mean, your spirit yeah. man is covered in covered in his blood, but there's things that your spirit man is still there that he has to work with you to work through this.
Right.
And that's one of the keys. And that's awesome, Tammy, how you actually illustrating that through your life story and showing people that there is hope for everybody that's like that.
Right.
And that's awesome.
You know, I'm going to touch on what you said about, you know, going to a psychologist or a counselor. And that's part of my testimony, actually. My breaking down rock bottom point, I was actually suicidal and went to the only person I had a contact of reference to as being a Christian. I used to work for this lady in the daycare that I worked in, a church daycare I worked in through high school, and I went to her and I asked her, I said, show me where in the Bible it says I'll go to hell if I kill myself. Because that was the only thing that I was really keeping me from committing suicide was the fact that I was afraid I would go to hell. I didn't want to live in hell. and she could not answer my question. She didn't know how to answer my question. And I speak into the lives of those right now that there are Christians, that your followers of Christ know the Word and be in tune with the Holy Spirit so that you can answer these questions or at least pray for these people. But she put me in a room and she began to call people to help find out how I could get help, and they sent me to a Christian counselor, and the very first thing as I walked into that office, she wanted to write me a prescription for medication for depression, and that infuriated me. It infuriated me because I was at a rock bottom place, and I had been numbed by someone so that I would not be able to respond to what they were about to do to me. And I walk into a Christian counseling office, and they want to numb me. They want to change. They don't want to change what's going on the inside. They want to numb what's on the outside. And that actually is what spurned me to going into the world for that hardcore amount of time that I went in, just did everything I thought I'd never do, because I was angry at that last-ditch effort in my mind when I really needed Jesus. That last-ditch effort was to get some help from somebody who represented him, and they wanted to do the very same thing that the enemy had just done to me, and that was drug me. And that actually made me angry. I remember that often whenever I'm counseling with someone. The last thing that you need right now is a medication. You know, a lot of people want to be medicated. You don't need a medication. You need deliverance. You need freedom. You know, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you said that, it really clicked in my spirit. That needs to be said, because the last thing you need is a medication. You cannot medicate a deep inner wound. That only can be healed by the power of God.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome, Mary, because there are so many people, like you said, there's so many people willing to get some kind of pill that some of these, now, you know, there's some medication that does help people, and I'm not going to knock medication altogether. That the people does need their medication at times, but,
absolutely,
you know, there are some wounds that can only be healed by God. And sometimes we need to just pray on that. And, you know, if you don't got nobody to pray with you, just go to a local church or, you know, just ask somebody to pray with you. And even here on the Healing Light Show, I've got, you know, I can go to Facebook anywhere, and we'll be all willing to pray with you at any time that you need it. But, prayer is really what's going to bring us together and get into a body of Christ, get into a good Bible-believing church, and they do got people can help you and help transform you and transform you in the Word of God, and that's the main thing. So, okay, Chuck,
Hey, one thing I wanted to say was, like, if there are hurts and wounds in your heart, like, I would encourage, because there's ministries out there, Sozo Ministries, and ministries where the people focus on hearing the Holy Spirit for your situation. And I just want to throw that out there, that there are Inner Healing Ministries and Sozo Ministries. And I mean, if nothing else, contact me on Facebook. I know about that stuff. I know that how to hear from the Lord for your situation. And, like, I can just hear the Lord on where to go with that. But there's some ministries, and the Lord does not want you walking in bondage, and he doesn't want you hurting. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. And he wants you free and walking in relationship with him, and that's, he's the abundance of life. He is so good with him that, I mean, he would do anything to have you in that close relationship and fellowship with him. And I just wanted to interject that, because that is so important. Your love walk with him. And it says, seek not the counsel of the ungodly. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and sometimes, I mean, if your pastor's trying to, like, pawn you off or something, I mean, sometimes they just don't have knowledge in the situation of how to go after that thing. So don't give up. Don't give up, and don't settle for, because ultimately there's some kind of lie that needs to be replaced that you're accepting as a truth, probably. And the thing is, the Holy Spirit and the Father, Jesus, they can help you get to the point of believing that truth and walking in the light of life. But anyway, I don't want to take too long with that.
Yeah.
That's awesome, Chris. Now, Tammy, what type of style of ministering do you have when you're up on stage? Is it, you know, is this out front and center, or how you do that?
Chuck, you want to answer that? I am quite out of the box.
And fire. That's all I can say.
I do preach, and I do have the, like I said, I am I'm a youth pastor, so I do teach as well. I flow the best out of a powerful time of prayer and worship. I really, really depend very, very much on hearing the Holy Spirit and what he wants to say. I stay prepared in season, out of season. I stay in the Word. I stay in prayer. It's very rare that I will just sit down and say, you know, I'm going to prepare a sermon to pull out later on whenever I may be speaking. I'm really, really prophetic, very led by the Holy Spirit. And I'm not doting on myself as a prophet. I'm saying that I am prophetic and that I hear from God and speak what he speaks. There's nothing like an on-time word. I believe that's why he said be ready in season and out of season. I believe that in the book of Acts that they spent continual time in prayer and in worship. And when it was time to open their mouth, when it was time for Peter to open his mouth on the day that the Holy Spirit was poured out, the word of God came up in his spirit and it came out of his mouth. He said, this is that which was prophesied. And he began to quote Joel. And that is very much the way that I minister. I, on a daily basis, stay in the Word. On a daily basis, stay in prayer. And I will write, you know, as God speaks to me, I'll write out the things that he's speaking, you know, at home. And whenever I'm at a place, I'm on a stage, preaching, speaking, ministering, those things start to come back up in my spirit and they start to come out of my mouth. It's very different, and I think some of the ways that we've seen evangelistic ministries function in the past, you know, you have some evangelists that have one or two sermons or messages that they'll preach over and over again. I can't do that. I don't do that. That's just not the way the Holy Spirit allows me to minister. I very much want to be able to minister to a crowd as though I'm ministering to one person. I want you to hear individually the word God has for you, whether you're in a group of 1,000 people or if it's just me and you sitting there. And that's always been my prayer as God began to shift me from one-on-one and groups of 10, you know, 15 small group settings into larger group settings. It's been my prayer that people will hear as though they're sitting down with God himself. And I believe that's where deliverance comes from. That's where healing comes from, when God begins to touch the individual. So, you know, the way I minister is out of the deep wells of my spirit. And it's like, you know, Chuck said, I just let, I let it fire when it fires. And I believe there's a baptism of fire that God is releasing right now, that's a passion and a love and another level of his spirit and his presence. And that's a lot of what just flows out of me when I minister.
That's awesome, Tammy. That's awesome. Chuck, you have anything else you'd like to ask her?
Well, just one, again, not really a question, but for those who maybe don't know, Frontline, she's Frontline Ministries, and maybe you could drop your website or whatever so people can get in touch with you. But she does two things. She does fire on the altar, and she does a thing called One Movement. So if you could, Tammy, just as quick as you can, whatever you want to release, just kind of explain those two things so that people will know exactly kind of what you do evangelistically. I know you're a youth pastor and you do some stuff in your home church, but as you go out, what you do.
Yeah. Well, you know, honestly, I'm shifting out of the youth pastor position right now. Really been moving and training somebody up into that place because God is moving me out. He's called me out of outside of the four walls. And in 2015, we're doing something called One Movement. We had a One Movement kickoff December 20th of this year in Mullen, South Carolina. My heart, and if you ever see me posting on Facebook, I do the hashtag Psalm 133 move. Psalm 133 talks about how it is blessed and it's beautiful to the Lord that brethren would dwell together in unity. And my heart is to see the unifying of the body of Christ, and I believe that that can only come through saturated times of seeking his face and worship and in prayer together, laying down our own desires and beginning to seek after his, laying down entertainment and begin to seek after his sound from heaven. And One Movement in 2015 in South Carolina, what we're doing is trying to bring together the 12 most populated cities in South Carolina in prayer and in worship. I really feel like what God wants to do in the state of South Carolina through One Movement is birth fire on the altars all over South Carolina. I believe he wants to birth this 24-hour or 12-hour extended sets of worship and prayer in individual cities in South Carolina. And out of that, I believe, will flow the unity and the signs and wonders, miracles. Those things will follow as we begin to seek after the face of God. So One Movement, the focus and the goal is to unify the hearts and to align the hearts with the heart of God and to break down racial walls and break down denominational barriers and begin to just seek after God for his faith and see this cycle of division broken, because the cycle of division actually ends the move of God. So every time we begin a move with God and we end it in argument or division or whatever that may be, we actually end that revival movement. That's as far as God can go if we're going to remain in division. So our heart with One Movement is to break down those division walls in South Carolina. Fire on the Altar came first. It came out of our time of just interceding and worship and prayer with our college students locally. We really thought we were doing a 24-hour extended worship similar to what International House of Prayer does, but it has actually birthed into something really, I think, different than IHOP. We are bringing together the fivefold ministry, the apostle, prophet, preacher, teacher, evangelist, into the time of live worship and intercession, and God is creating this community of believers that align with his head, and the fivefold ministry begins to function seamlessly, one another, one to another. We begin to deliver the part of the word God has and open the door for someone else to deliver the rest of it in that time of prayer and worship. And that's really how I believe how he wants his body to flow. It never was supposed to be a hierarchy of one gift is more important than the other. And in these extended sets of live worship and just like, you know, Chuck said, going after the devil, you know, ripping his face off, you know, that type of thing, we begin to align with one another in unity with one another, and we begin to see him flow and function in what the body of Christ is supposed to look like. And so fire on the altar is 24-hour prayer and worship is really like a blowtorch fire from city to city to ignite the heart of God in that city, to ignite unity in that city. And so we began that, you know, in October or so of last year, Mobily, and one movement's coming out of that, you know, to really focus in hardcore on our state. Next year we're also going to be up and down the East Coast and internationally as well. So God's just really just doing what he said he was going to do. He said he was going to light fires in regions and states and nations through this movement.
Amen. That's awesome, Danny. Now, can you plug some of your websites and stuff? And if anybody needs to find your ministry and learn more about it.
Yeah, I'm very, very active on a day-to-day basis on Facebook. Tammy Sutherland is my Facebook page, and Frontline Ministries is our ministry page. Our ministry website is www.frontlinefire.org, and you can also get there by going to TammySutherland.org, which will take you straight to my personal page on the website. It is TammySutherland.org. You can, you know, find out more about us. You can book us. You can get us, you know, in your church to ignite your city, or set up a tent or a field, or, you know, we don't care. It doesn't have to be in a church building. As a matter of fact, we like getting outside the four walls of the church. So, you know, you can find us there, get in touch with us, and, you know, follow links on there. But like I said, if you want to keep up with the day-to-day, Facebook's probably the best way to do that. We are on Twitter and Instagram, too.
That's awesome. Now, Tammy, would you like to say a prayer for the listening audience?
Absolutely. Well, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just pray over all those who are listening right now. God, I just pray that you would begin even now to just awaken those deep things on the inside of the listeners, God. And Father, it says in your word that he who has an ear, let him hear, God. So I pray that you're opening ears right now in the name of Jesus, God. Father, I just declare right now in the name of Jesus that the dreamers will begin to dream again, God, but they would dream with you, Father. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I just declare that the Davids are arising, those who are pure-hearted, that worship just purely because they want to seek your face, Lord, that they're arising up now out of the caves and out of the ditches and the trenches, Lord. And, Father, right now I just and call death to the Simon the sorcerer spirit that just seeks after your power for his own personal gain. But, Lord, I just pray that you would raise up the Phillips and the Peters and the Pauls and those who were just seek after your Lord, and that signs and wonders would follow those who believe, God. So I pray that you would raise up those and begin to even ignite the fire in the heart of those that are listening, Lord, that even have a small desire for revival, God, that you would ignite in their hearts to have revival in their own lives, God, and intimacy in their own lives, God, and that they would begin to burn without fear of man, God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I just declare that a generation is arising, Lord, right now, that will seek after your face, not for their own glory, but for your glory, Lord, and that they will burn no matter what comes in their way or what comes after them, Lord, because they're meeting and they're spending time in your presence and seeking after your face, Lord. And, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just declare over somebody right now that their body is being healed, Lord, as their hearts are being ignited, Lord, and in the name of Jesus, Lord. And, Father, I just pray against the spirit of cancer right now in the name of Jesus. I command cancer right now to release the body, the mind, and the will, and the emotions. God, I declare faith would arise right now in the name of Jesus. in the name of Jesus. I believe we're in an epidemic right now, a plague of cancer, and a lot of that is because of this plague that has come after us that makes us believe that it is God's will that we should perish. So, Father, right now I come against that mindset right now, that it's not your will that any should perish, that all should come to everlasting life, God. And I declare right now that that signs and the wonders and the miracles are going to begin to follow the church, and they will point to you as this plague comes and ends at the walls, at the firewall of your presence, in Jesus' name.
Amen. That's awesome prayer, Tammy. I want to thank all you guys for being on here today. I want to thank Chuck, Chris, and thanks again, Tammy, for coming and letting me interview you today. And it's been a pleasure to have you on the show and get to learn about your life story. And I'm sure this story is really going to touch a lot of people, you know, that's going to come in and listen to the story. Maybe they're listening now. Maybe, you know, they'll download it on their iPod or just come into the library of the Healing Light Show and listen to it. But I'm sure this show is going to touch a lot of people. And I thank you for sharing it. And maybe you can come on some other time and minister or whatever you feel like you'd want to talk about. It'd be awesome.
Amen. I'd be glad to.
It was a great day. But everybody, we're going to get ready to shut down the show here. And I want to thank everybody for coming to the Healing Light Show and checking out this broadcast today. And if you would want to find out more about the Healing Light Show, just go to the Facebook Healing Light page and just like the page. Go to Blog Talk, and when you're listening to the show, just follow the page and all the shows that we ever have or all the shows that we're going to produce. You'll see it. It'll send you an email or something like that, and you'll know about the shows. And while you're in Blog Talk and you're on the Healing Light show, just look at the library and look at all the different shows that we've had over a couple of years here. And if you feel pulled to listen to one, just go ahead and just listen to it and let the Lord touch you. We do have shows on here where we have took call-ins for healings and stuff. And anytime a lot of people listen to these things, you know, it really touches them. And we do try to pray at the end of every show for different things. And that's just the type of show we are. We want the Lord to touch everybody. But I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. And, you know, just paste it on your Facebook page. It'll help share the show and get the word out, and it helps out the show quite a bit. I'll say God bless y'all, and we'll see y'all Wednesday.
Like you took the sin of the world on your shoulders, you did it so willingly. God, the price you paid will forever be enough, and the life you gave, that you gave it all for love.
Higher, higher. was seen. Reveal this mystery, the crown that showed no dignity he wore. And the king was placed for all the world to show disgrace, but only beauty flowed from this place. Would you take the place of this man? Would you take the nails from his hand? Would you take the place of this man? Would you take the nails from his hand? You're the weight of purity, the Father would not see. Reason to finally come to be to show the depth of his grace. Bloom with every sinner race. He knew that this was why he came. Would you take the place of this man? Would you take the nails from his hand? Would you take the place of this man? Would you take the nails from his hand? Yeah, we just don't know. Blood and water flow. And the veil was torn so we could have this open door, and all these things have finally been complete. Would you take the place of this man? Would you take the nails from his hand? Would you take the place of this man? Would you take the nails from his hand? From his hand? From his hand? From his hand?
This is my desire.